Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Epiphany. Epiphany means making manifest, and that is our theme throughout this Epiphany season. Making Christ manifest through the road less traveled. The road less traveled is the Bible, and in particular, the Old Testament, which so many people think is out of date. But it's in the Old Testament that we see from Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3 that Christ came because of sin. Sin that Adam and Eve chose. Adam and Eve, the first of God's creation. They bought into the lie that Satan gave. Did God really say that you can't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? He doesn't want you to eat like that. Or doesn't want you to eat because you'd be like him. He casts doubt on God's truth. He warps it. He speaks in lies because he's the father of lies. And one of the greatest lies that comes out of, even today, evolution, is it's all about you. After all, evolution says survival of the fittest. So it's all about you. Be the fittest, you'll survive. Last week, we went down the harsh truth highway. It's totally different than what is being taught in our schools today, which was influenced by Jean-Jacques Rousseau, that you're good. You're born good and people are basically good. And the Bible says, no, you're not. You're sinful. The heart is deceitful above all things. And that, left unchecked, that leads to violence and all sorts of sinful problems. So bad, in fact, that in just two chapters in Genesis, man became sinful to the point that every thought of their hearts was evil. God held them accountable, and we had Noah's flood. But the flood ended with a rainbow and a covenant. I will never flood the earth again to destroy mankind. But he will come again in judgment with fire. But that opens us to the world of the covenant. So welcome to Covenant Court. And a guy named Abram. In Genesis chapter 12, we read, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. Where did God want Abram to go? To the land that I will show you. This was definitely a test of faith. Go first. I'll show you once you're on the road. But it also was a question of commitment. Leave three for me. You really committed to me, Abraham? Leave your country, your kindred, your father's house for me. And that's one of the unique things we see in the Bible. That choice, shall we say. You know, fast forward to the Gospels. What do we see Peter doing? That's right, he had an opportunity three times to stand by Jesus and say, yep, I'm his disciple. But three times he denied Jesus. Go to the very end of the Bible, to the book of Revelation. What do we find? 666. When man chooses himself over God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But, getting back to it, go to the land that I will show you. That's what Abraham's supposed to do. And God says, do this and I will. Now pay attention very close again. Do this and I will. One, make of you a great nation. Two, I will bless you. Three, I will make your name great. Four, so that you will be a blessing. Five, I will bless those who bless you. And 6, I will curse those who curse you. And 7, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is a covenant. It's a two-way promise, a two-way agreement, a two-way guarantee. Abraham is one part or one way of the covenant, and his job is to trust, to have faith, to obey, to leave his country, kindred, house. God, on the other hand, well, he's going to do all 7 of those things. I'm afraid that today we don't look at all 7 of them. All too often we focus at 1. I'll make of you a great nation. The promise of Israel. The country. But the next 5 are all specific to Abraham. I'm going to bless you, make your name great. I'm going to make you a blessing to others. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. But you put those together and you have 6, and they're all related to man. And in the Bible, again, 6 is the number of man. 7, on the other hand, is the number of perfection. And look at 7. In you, not through you, but in you, Abraham, all families of the earth shall be blessed. You will be a blessing to all the nations. Something from in Abraham is going to do this. And it's his ancestor way down the line, or his progeny way down the line, Jesus. He's at the end of the covenant, of covenant court, shall we say. But in that covenant, we now see also the first gospel message. In you is going to come, or from in you is going to come, the Messiah. And that leads us to Lineage Lane. Again, Lineage Lane begins with Father Abram, who left everything to follow God and to follow the covenant that God made with him. He got to the promised land and there was a problem. There was famine. So he went to Egypt. Oh no, another problem in Egypt. Pharaoh really liked beautiful women, and Sarai, Abram's wife, was drop-dead gorgeous. And Abram was afraid that Pharaoh would kill him, because Pharaoh had this reputation of killing to get what he wanted. So he and Sarai agreed that she would say she was his sister. And Pharaoh entered into a barter exchange with Abraham, giving him all sorts of livestock and both men and female servants. Now, poor Pharaoh didn't realize he was actually taking Abram's wife, so he takes her home, and we read that, quote, great plagues, end quote, came on Pharaoh and his family. And he was no dummy. He realized, gosh, ever since she stepped over into my house, there's been problems. Goes back to Abraham, what have you done? And, well, my sister, I thought you'd kill me, and so God's not happy about this, and you're suffering. And Pharaoh says, take her back, keep everything, go your way. And Pharaoh sends him off, a wealthy man. And as he gets back to the promised land, he has with him in tow his nephew named Lot. And this again tells us what kind of a guy Abram was. He says, you know, I've got all of this, and you have what you have, and a land's not big enough for the two of us. So you choose, where do you want to live? Lot looks at the Jordan River Valley and goes, well, there's a river here. It's well-watered. It's lush and green. And there's cities around. And I'll take this. Uncle, you go live in the hills where it's harder to find grass, it's not as lush, and there's less water. And Abram says, okay. Lot moves into Gomorrah. And there arises a war between the kings of the Jordan Valley and the kings of all the land around them. And all those kings together defeat the kings of the Jordan River Valley, and one of the people they take away captive is Lot. Abram gets word of this, musters his men together, 318 of them, and goes against all these kings and their armies. And he wins. Brings Lot back. And it's then that God comes to him again and extends the covenant. Your very own son will be your heir. Look at the sand on the seashore. Those individual grains of sand, that's how many offspring you'll have. And look up at the sky, Abraham. Count the stars, if you're even able to count them. That's how many offspring you're going to have. And we read, and he, Abram, believed the Lord, and he, God, credited it to him as righteousness. Faith is righteousness. God credited it to him, gives him his righteousness, which is our second gospel message coming out of the covenant, making Christ even more manifest. We too, by faith in Jesus, are clothed in his righteousness. It's a part of the covenant. It's a part of the Old Testament. It makes it manifest to us. But Abram was not perfect. And he tried to help God. After all, he was 86 years old. And so he and Sarah... Actually, Sarah started the plan, but he had a son, Ishmael, through Sarai's handmaid, Hagar. 13 years later, he's 99 years old now, God comes to him and says, I am Yahweh, God Almighty, El Shaddai, the first use of that term in the Bible. I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless that I may make my covenant between me and you. And here is where God changes their names to Abraham and Sarah. And then he takes a little walk with Abraham. And he looks down the hill at Sodom and Gomorrah and says, shall I hide from my servant Abraham what I'm about to do? The cry from that city comes up. I am going to destroy it. Abraham knows his nephew Lot lives there. And so he says, Lord, what if there's 50 righteous? Far be it from you to destroy the innocent with the guilty for the sake of 50? Would you save the city? For the sake of 50, I'd save the city. Oh, Lord, far be it from me to talk to you about this, but what about 45? For the sake of 45. What about 40? 40, 30, 20, 10. For the sake of 10, I will not destroy the city. Unfortunately, there were only 3, and yet God sent angels to deliver Lot and his 2 daughters. His wife, well, she didn't really believe in God, turned back against God's command and turned into a pillar of salt. But God saved them. And a year later, Abraham has a son, Isaac. And as Isaac grows older, Genesis 22, God says to Abraham, Take your son, your only son. Sacrifice him to me. And Abraham went to do that. But God wouldn't let him kill his son. God stopped him and gave him a ram instead. But as we read in Scripture, Abraham was fully ready to kill Isaac, knowing that God had made a covenant. God would hold to his covenant, and even if he killed Isaac, God would raise him up. But God didn't need to raise him up. He saved him. But he was giving us the third gospel message, the third manifestation of Jesus Christ in the covenant. God did take his son, his only son, sacrificed him on our behalf. Jesus did die a horrible, brutal death, but God did raise him from the dead. And you see, this is now the foundation. It's the road base for Lineage Lane that leads us to Covenant Court. The lineage is all a part of getting to that covenant because it is a part of the covenant. God promised Abraham, your heir will continue in the covenant. That was Isaac. But the promise it would continue to Jacob. And it was promised to Jacob that it would continue through his son Judah. It was promised to Judah that it would continue to his sons till Jesse. It was promised to Jesse it would continue through his son King David. And many generations later, through David's lineage, Joseph. We go down that lineage, we follow it, we turn on the covenant court, and what do we see? We still see Jesus. A lineage spanning well over 1,000 years, foretold in advance. Together, the lineage, the covenant with its gospel messages, make Christ manifest, because he alone fulfills them both. But it doesn't end there. Next week, the road less traveled, it's called Deliverance Drive. I hope you take that journey with us in our Savior's name. Amen.